You're listening to ESPN 97.5, your home for sports. Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA Program. KFNC Mount Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Here they come, yo. Here they come.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN.
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we are all present and accounted for and waiting to have some fun for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you are too, wherever you may be in the big city. As I mentioned, Barry is here, Nick is here, and myself, as we take you up till 4 o'clock. And what's up, fellas?
What up, what up, what up?
What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not even that tired.
Yeah, you had a trip.
Yeah, well, thanks right. For not going. It all worked out well.
Yeah, I really wanted to go.
I know.
But you wouldn't let me roll.
I was not going to allow that. But no, it went well. Have you guys ever heard of a place called P. Terry's?
No.
In Austin?
Mm-mm.
So apparently it's a, I don't know, like I was out there with Bryson and A.D. Hodge. And Bryson apparently he goes out there like once a month and has his show. And I asked, you know, what's the deal? Y'all want to grab some food before we head back? He goes, oh, I just drive through P. Terry's and grab a burger. So I was like, okay, it better be good because we passed a Whataburger to go get this burger.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. It had a more in and out kind of.
Is it a fast foodie joint?
It is, but it's kind of like an old school. It reminds me of a diner a little bit. But it was. I was thinking about this, and you know I love food, and I know you love food, and we all know Nick loves food.
We know I love food. You know,
but
look at me.
Are you, like, so the French fries were kind of the skin-on style fry.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. They were seasoned well and all that. Do you have a preference in those? Like, do you like the, you know, there's some French fries that'll have the skin
right.
on,
mm-hmm.
and then there's, like, the McDonald's style, right, where it's just the potato.
I think, and we've had this debate on this show and other shows, and obviously Tyler's been in the middle of this and other people. I think, like, McDonald's fries are just head and shoulders above
sure.
everybody.
But I'm just
but
saying
I think
the
that between the two of them,
yeah.
I don't care as long as they're cooked enough.
Now, are you a crispy fry guy? Like, you want them kind of crunchy?
Not over the top crispy, but I don't want them, like, soggy.
Okay.
At least there's a firm fry.
You don't want your fries needing Viagra.
You correct.
Know, somewhere in the middle.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I got you. I'm kind of with you, like, as long as it's good. But I was thinking about that. There are people that, like, oh, no, I only, you know, skinless French fries or whatever the hell they're called.
See, the problem with that is that I think, yeah, I'm okay with skin on it as long as it's like a signature type of side.
Right.
The problem is most people are not really good at it. It's like sweet potato. Like, I prefer regular fries over sweet potato fries,
mm-hmm.
but there are a few spots that are really good.
That have good sweet potato
fries. Sweet potato fries.
I would agree with that. The one thing that I've noticed is there are very few, if any, fast food places that have the old school fries that have, like, you'll have crinkle cut fries.
Right.
You'll have, you know, the run of the mill missionary position fries.
But steak I was kind fries, of fries, which are the thicker ones.
Yeah, waffle fries, but then none of them have the skin on them like this. It was a little. I was a little like, what is this?
You think that might be from a?
It had
health
a diner.
Concern?
I don't know, but it had a diner feel.
Because you know
to
the
it.
Skin is the one that consumes all the dirt and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's
that
also
maybe...
yeah, but you wash them. But that also has all the vitamins.
Sure it does.
But I give it like a 7.
Okay.
On the scale, if you're ever in Austin,
what is Whataburger on your
Terry's,
scale?
Probably like a 9.
Okay. In and out?
Probably a 6 or a 7.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing special about any of it, really. I mean, if we're being honest, none of those burgers are like, I mean, Whataburger is good. I love the patty melt, but I'm like, Whataburger is good. It's It's a better burger than just a run-of-the-mill fast food burger.
And with fries. And it's different with McDonald's because it's so open, the containers, when you get the to-go order.
Right.
But, like, from a restaurant perspective, you know that the restaurant actually cares and they want the quality of their fries to be good if they poke holes in the container, if it's like a box or like a styrofoam.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The air will prevent the fries from getting soggy while they sit in the car in the bag or wherever you're going before you eat them.
Gotcha. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, so my parents were in the restaurant business, and then a buddy of mine that runs Nico Nico's, he said, when we do to-go orders for fries, and they do them in the big styrofoam, you know, containers, and then they poke holes in all the corners and stuff because the air and the
So these came, like, they didn't have the regular, you know, carton where you'll, like, McDonald's and whatnot, put them in there. Mm-hmm. It was in a kind of a paper bag type thing that was twisted together and tied up. Kind of like if you've ever driven around Texas, you buy pecans. They're always in a paper thing like that. It was kind of like that. It wasn't bad. I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Time to get back?
I got back at 12:45 in the morning.
Not bad.
No, could have been worse. Could have been worse. Shows went well. Apparently, I didn't know this. I had no clue. But apparently, the owner of Cap City Comedy Club, or maybe the guy that books the headliners and stuff, his name's, I think, Richard Miller? Jim Miller? I don't remember his first name. I probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy, super nice guy. You know me, I'm bad with names. Apparently, he's Dennis Miller's brother.
Really?
Yeah. And so he books all the headliners, and he was there. So it's funny because he came back to the back. All the comedians were hanging out, and he said, "Hey, Bryson, I just wanted to say thank you for everything you do for Cap City, and you know, I wanted to check out your set." And so that means he was going to be checking out everybody's set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that comes, that's like an audition for comics. Sure, like if everybody's doing it, so all the guys are like, "Man, should I change my set? Should I not curse? What should I do?" I was like, "Bro, he's not here for us. He's here for Bryson. Just do whatever.
Be you, right?
Yeah, just do your thing. Be yourself." But he was a nice guy, big Blazers fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bought us drinks, and we watched the Blazers game. So it was a chill night, man. That's
cool.
Not too bad for a little run out to Austin.
Well, see, Nick's already got red ass because he heard bought drinks, and he's like, well, damn.
Yeah,
I could have gone.
You could have
gone.
You could have had some free drinks there, bud. Somebody said Wendy's has the skin on their potatoes. Their french fries? I've never heard that. I know they do. They were the first to do like sea salt. But
Bex Prime has skin on. And I would say this, underrated in terms of like from a steak fry perspective, and they're normally bottomless, is Red Robin. Because Red Robin with a steak fry, it's really hard to get it at least firm, not without being overly crispy.
True.
And Red Robin does a good job.
Jimmy Miller was the name.
Jimmy Miller. Okay. There you go. Right.
I'm with you. Red Robin. Do you get the onion ring tower at Red Robin? That's kind of the play, right? You don't?
I don't.
That's the play.
No, but I would get the bottomless fries and put them out of business.
Yeah. Shove them in your pocket.
Oh boy.
Like, why is this guy wearing cargo shorts?
Man,
and they're full.
That's my side handle. That's not my cargo. That's not fries.
It's like shoving them in your cheeks. Man,
I used to do that. Well, I used to get to the Red Robin and look out.
I always felt like, and I they're not sponsors, are they, Nick? No. Red Robin? Mm-mm. I always feel like it's a little pricey.
Is it?
I think so.
The only one we ever used to go to here was the one by the movie theater off of I-10 and like Silber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was one in that complex with
I-10 and Silber. Oh, yeah. Marquis Center.
Marquis
Center. Yeah, where the improv is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We used to go to the one in the Woodlands, but I feel like every time I go there, I drop $50 for two of us. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Just a burger and fries and an onion ring tower?
Yeah.
But
kind of like their onion tower is the Bloomin' Onion at Outback, ooh, right?
I used to be a huge Outback guy.
Were you?
No, I loved it. I don't know. Once I started making my own steaks and figured out like sous vide and all that, I stopped going to steakhouses.
Yeah.
But God, I used to go and get the Outback has the best cheese fries. They're in the world, but there's like 3,000 calories for, and I would eat the whole thing. But
well, that's the thing. Like, and Lisa, because she's pregnant now, because she's and Taylor is very picky, but she likes French fries, and they'll have me go get like the box of Beck's Prime fries, in the drive-thru with a salad for Lisa. I'm like, really? And then I'm the guy that goes and orders it and picks it up, and the dude's like looking at me going, yeah, right, pal, the salad and then the box of fries. But then Taylor and Lisa are always on the fries. I was like, yeah, she's a fry connoisseur.
Really?
When she orders, when we order Chinese food and she orders fries with it.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that's, and the Chinese food place actually pokes holes in the top of the fry container. So you give them a little credit for that.
Well, I guess being a vegan.
Yeah, and being pregnant. That combination is like, if she's going to go with a cheat food, there you go.
Potatoes work.
Yeah, like no doubt about it. From the Midwest, I had far too many potatoes in my day. The meat and potato factor in the Midwest is huge.
How much time did you spend watching the draft?
I had some errands to run. I had to go to the store and things like that. So I waited until I knew where everybody was going to go. But I was sitting there looking at the clock going, look, if they're going to drag this thing out for an hour, which should take like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so pleased with the fact that they got the majority out of the way in the first segment and then the final four in the second segment. It was boom, boom. And then they could do all the talking they wanted. I was out.
Okay. So they didn't, it wasn't a big overdone production.
No, like not like years past. And here's the other thing. I completely commend the NBA for everything that they did on two fronts. One, because we talked about like when they do the All-Star draft, they should film that.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA learned a lesson about wanting to let people in. Because we always heard about, hey, what you see on the stage, it's already been decided somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They had a camera in the room where somewhere else was going on.
Oh, really?
So it was very, very cool. All the cell phones had to be checked at the door. They weren't going to show the footage till after the picks were made. But Alvin Gentry, the coach of the Pelicans, was in that room. And when he's like, I'm sitting there looking at combinations going, we got that number. We got that number. He goes, I'm looking for the final number. And all of a sudden I hear someone say, congratulations to the Pelicans. You get number one. He goes, I just got up and said, F yeah, as loud as I could. And then I had to apologize to everybody. But that was cool. The fact that they sped it all up was cool. And the most important thing was, they've eliminated tanking in the NBA.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like what the things that they put in place to not reward tanking worked.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And now people are going to have to try.
Yeah.
Because now you're almost rewarded for finishing in the middle of the pack. At least they're giving it an effort.
Right. And here's the other thing. For all the people that said it was fixed, for all the people that said go back to Patrick Ewing, go back to, you know what? Look at that Final Four. You had New York. You had L.A., but who got the top two picks? Memphis and New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
That'll teach you a lesson. There you go. All right, we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects, and we always love you being suspects of the show, participating. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number. Reach us via Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. On a Way Back Wednesday, songs pre-2009 from the year 1979.
They're pretty much all going to be pre-2009 if they're from 1979, right?
In honor of the 79 home runs the Astros hit before last night's game, when they continued to tack on. So, are you our number one?
I am our number one.
There you go.
It's a good song.
First in, first on. Barry with the first list of the hour.
Charlie.
There you go. We'll be back with a whole lot more.
Via the HR&P listener line.
I was going to mention it in detail, but we're going to break right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just rolling along, getting the party started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Way Back Wednesday. Barry, hour number one. Songs from the year 1979, because going into last night's ball game between the Astros and the Detroit Tigers, Astros had hit 79 home runs. Well, that didn't last long. As the fun continued, by the time I got off the draft and onto the baseball game, it was already 7-0.
Man. Well, I told you that started, was I right? 10-something ERA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. About right, though.
Yeah, but man, I mean, and an inside-the-park home run, just to add a little extra suspense to the tally from George Springer. But man, I mean, and this is all with Altuve out.
Yeah. And even when he was in, he wasn't playing.
Right, and he's obviously, and he has gotten off to slow starts in his career before, but he always seems to right the ship. But, you know, and now he's dealing with the hamstring injury. For whatever reason, when he comes back, is it that inconceivable to think they could be even better offensively?
Yeah, but I think it's the nature of the way this works is some of those guys are going to start to cool off that are going, you know, that are going, which if you were to pick, I would probably say a guy like Josh Reddick is probably going to, he's already level starting off. To cool off, yeah, a little sure bit. Is. But, you know, Chirinos, I don't expect to be performing as well as he's been performing. Guys like Correa and Springer, you can see why, because they are all stars and they are.
Bregman.
Yeah, and Bregman and Brantley and for Brantley, that matter.
Yeah.
But some of these cats are going to cool down, and some of these cats are going to get hot. I mean, I could certainly see Tyler White getting hot like he did last year after July. So, yeah, I think you'll add out to it. But that's a beautiful thing when you think about it. That's that balance where some guys are going well and some guys mm-hmm. aren't, and the others are able to carry this team. That'll be a beautiful thing if Reddick cools off and Chirinos cools off, but Altuve, you know, gets back to being Altuve.
I mean, you were talking about Tyler White getting hot because the temperatures are going to be like humid and 100, right?
Not a fan right now.
Not right now.
Isn't it funny how we turn on a guy so quick?
I was never a fan.
Last year, he was the darling of the Astros in the second half when people were just clamoring. Look at that. That's why he won the DH spot last year. He didn't win that in spring.
Right.
He won the DH spot last year. For what he did after July.
But would you look at it, too? Look at Diaz and what he's doing, and in limited time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, and obviously Marwin was huge for this franchise history and winning the first World Series and all those other things. But at that price tag, you know, it's one thing that you weren't going to sign him. It's another thing that Luno goes out and gets a guy that people are kind of going, who? Is he really going to do all the things?
Well, he was a starter before he came
here. With the Cardinals, he was an all-star. Yeah. But at the same time, with Toronto, he was, you know, spot player. You know, moved around a little bit. But, you know, obviously Marwin was such a Swiss Army knife that people had their concerns. Boy, he has been big, too. He's got pop in his bat. He can play multiple positions. And he's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah. He's a you talk about him being a poor man's Marwin Gonzalez, but he's playing like a rich man's Marwin Gonzalez because he's outperforming this year. And then I was looking. His WAR the first year he played with the Cardinals was 3.5. That's a hefty WAR, because I'll give you some WARs right now in the AL. The very highest is Mike Trout at a 2.9.
I was gonna say that's over the Trout range. yeah,
the only guy that has a higher than that right now in the majors this year is Bellinger at a 4.5,
and he's just on a different planet right now.
He really is. What I love seeing though, man, you look at like the ESPN stats and sortables and all that, and all you see is Astros pictures, and that's mm-hmm. a beautiful
top
thing.
Five in hitting. You got two there with Springer and Brantley.
Yep.
RBIs and home runs, you got Springer at the top.
And Bregman and home runs.
Hits is Brantley and Springer, or Springer and Brantley in that order.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're right. And then wins, I was looking at the other night.
Verlander
second in the league in wins.
Fifth in ERA.
And he's pitching tonight.
Yep. Osuna third in saves. I mean, this team, Springer's WAR right now is a 2.6. The only guy higher is 2.9. What's crazy in this wins above replacement, which is kind of becoming the de facto mm-hmm. grade for how good a player is compared to all the other players in the majors, three of the top five WARs in the AL belong to Astros. Three.
That's fantastic.
That means essentially what this is telling you at this juncture, the Astros have three of the best five players in the American League. Springer second at a 2.6. Trout's first at a 2.9. Springer second at a 2.6. Jorge Polanco of the Twins is third at a 2.6. Alex Bregman fourth at a 2.3. And Brantley is fifth at a 2.1.
That's just... And again, because if Reddick was in there, you'd go, well, that's going to change.
Sure.
But because it's Bregman, you're like, man.
He could maintain that.
Yeah.
Brantley could maintain that. I think Springer could maintain that. I'm not expecting these guys to continue at the clip that they're currently on.
Right.
But all these guys, this isn't fluky, like you said, like a Reddick might be. Or, you know, if a guy like that, it was up there this high, so.
Well, ironically, because I was writing the story for SportsMap on who's your first quarter MVP of the Astros, and when I was looking at Reddick's numbers, I was like, well, 2 years ago, he had the number one batting average at home in the American League. This year, up until, like you mentioned, in May, he's starting to fall off. This year, on the road, he was hitting .354.
Mm-hmm.
On the road. That's crazy. That's stout. And think about that, too. He didn't start the season with an extra base hit. I think for the first couple of weeks, he didn't have a home run. He might have had a double or two eventually. And then he finally started to get a little bit more power in his swing. But that was always, you know, that first cut was always that big swing for the fences cut.
Yeah.
Where he looked at the barrel after he missed it and, you know, snap it back real quick. Now he's just so much more disciplined at the plate.
And it's weird to see him at the bottom of the order because you know that Hinch likes that number nine guy. That's an important position.
Second lead
in this, off. Yeah, that's, I mean, really your worst hitter in Hinch's lineups are always probably going to be seven and eight. You got Reddick in the ninth spot, which is weird to see a guy hitting .326 batting ninth, but it's so that's why partly why Springer has so many RBIs from the leadoff spot is the way that AJ Hinch does his lineups.
And give you no more credit, even what you were saying, even in that 7-8 spot, Chirinos, the fact that everybody was like, well, you're going to need a first-rate starting catcher.
Yeah.
He's doing it. He's doing defensively, and he's doing a hell of a job at the plate. He's swinging a good bat.
Yeah.
So, like you said, not a whole lot to talk about with the Astros. I mean, because you can sit here, good.
Like, you can nitpick, but what's the fun in that?
I mean, heard Granato this morning say they're being compared to the 1927 Yankees.
No,
offensively.
No, stop that. And then Granato, do not jinx this team.
And then he went further
just
than that.
Just drink your
to
Coors
say,
Light I to mean, play your golf.
It might be just like one of the greatest teams ever.
I hate him for doing that. He's so funny.
Who doesn't think the Astros are the best hitting team ever? So we'll continue to roll on. Lots of other stuff to get to. Game one, by the way, if anybody missed it because of all the lotto hype. Warriors-Blazers. We're one game in the books, and we are no different in the way we see it all shaken out. We can get to that and a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It is the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city on this beautiful Wednesday, way back Wednesday. Songs from the year 1979 in honor of the Stros. 79 home runs going into last night. They have three last night?
Two, I thought.
And an Springer inside the park.
And Diaz, right?
No, and Correa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so three.
You right.
If they had four, that would have been, I think, a franchise record for most games with four in consecutive games.
Really?
I think they had two or three in a row where they had four bombs. But the numbers keep going up, including the win total. Seven in a row overall for your Stros, so that's always a good thing. And then, like I said, with that going on, with the lottery going on.
The lead in the division is seven. You think they put this thing away by June?
I do. Really do. And you look around the league, I'm watching the interdivisional play going on. And, you know, you look at the Angels who had crawled up to second, but then they're losing to, like, the Mariners. And, you know, they're beating the hell out of each other. And I'm like, well, as long as the team in second ain't winning games and everybody's keeps, you know, jockeying back and forth, Stros just going to keep climbing.
What's crazy is that this team was such a great road team last year. And they're just so this year. They were a better road team than they were a home team. And now that's been flipped.
Yep.
They're 12-11 on the road, but at home they're 16-4.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's like I was saying. Reddick so 2 years ago was the best home hitter in baseball. Yeah. Now on the road he's hitting .354.
Imagine if they get back to being the best road team in baseball. Yeah. Then it's definitely over. But as long as they're going to struggle on the road, I could see teams like Seattle, because Seattle's struggling at home right now. They're 9-11, but I could see a team like that hanging around for a while.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's anybody in this division right now that has enough firepower or pitching. When you, that's the crazy thing too. Outside of Tampa, which is just they're pitching lights out, and Cleveland, obviously their staff is
but
pitching
with some
well as well.
Now in their staff.
But the Astros with 157 runs allowed, there's no one in this division even close. This is the rest of the runs allowed in order of rank. Mariners at 252. Or in order of the division. Astros at 157 runs allowed, right?
Yep.
Mariners at 252, Angels 204, Rangers 227, A's 203. It's not even close.
No, that's about a 50-run difference across
the
board.
And we're talking maybe two or three games difference because the Mariners played a couple with the A's early on? And
yeah.
What? That's ridiculous.
And in the meantime, it doesn't pain me in the least. The Yankees still fighting through injuries, although they're keeping their heads above water. But how about what happened last night at Fenway? I don't know if you caught this or not because you were traveling.
I did read the headlines.
Chris Sale strikes out 17 of the 21 hitters he faced in seven innings. 17 of 21.
He's pretty good now.
So he's kind of got it worked out.
Getting it back.
The problems are coming back for him. I mean, he's working out the kinks, right? But he had thrown 108 pitches, and it was chilly at Fenway. So after seven, Cora pulls him. The Rockies rallied against the Boston bullpen and won 5-4 and 11.
Yeah, over his last three, Sale has looked a lot better than he did to start the season, where he was just losing game after game after game. The month of May has been good for him. Three earned runs out over three starts, going 6, 8, and 7 innings respectively, and getting a win in just one of those because, like you said, he goes out, strikes out 17, gets pulled, loses the game. Boston can't get out of their own way.
No, and I'll tell you this. I'll give Sale credit because in the past, we all know that when he saw the uniforms he didn't like with the White Sox, he went through the locker room cutting them up with the scissors, and he's got a temper.
A little emotional.
They asked him after the game about coming out of the game and Alex Cora coming to get him, and he said, AC's got two handshakes, and you know you get one or the other, and you know which one is the done one. I'd love to have gone back out there, but as I said, I will never question anything he does. That's a sign of a guy that's matured a little bit and realizes, you know what, they also extended him and gave him monster money. So you probably need to mind your P's and Q's.
But also, when you sucked as bad as Chris Sale did in March and April, you don't really have the cachet yet this season to be like, I've got it back. I mean, you've had three good outings in the month of May, but I mean, the case to be made, but Alex Cora knows what he's doing. Alex Cora is a hell of a manager. I think what's impressive to me is as bad as Boston was, they're only four out in their division. Yeah. They're four behind the Yankees in the loss column, but they are four out of the Rays from first place. And this team, they were awful to start.
And their starting pitching, other than Sale, is still not great. But when you look at it, too, there's a lesson to be learned. That's why on the devil's advocate side of things, of siding with Cora and the Red Sox, they made the right move. Because if you look at it, and we talked about this when Mike Fiers threw his no-hitter last week, but remember when Fiers threw the no-hitter for the Astros? He threw like 135 pitches. Mm-hmm. He was done for the next like month after that. Yeah. His arm, when you go, and you see this time and time again, especially with younger pitchers, when you extend them that far because they're going after something like this, whether they get it or not, that it takes them a period of time to come back from that and your arm to recover, and that could set you back.
And then you have to worry about guys like that, like what happened with McHugh. I think it was McHugh last year or the year before, get dead arm and don't really – no, it wasn't McHugh. It was McCullers, who got dead arm. That's also a real thing. So, you know, the more pitches you throw, which is probably also why Hinch came and got Corbin Martin so early and was like, no, your 75 is good. You've got this win. Put it in your pocket and get out of here, and we'll slowly build up your arm strength. I get it, but man.
But the thing is, you go back to from the Strasburg days and the Jabba Chamberlain days where they were right from the time they got to the bigs, it was like watching every pitch count, innings count. Remember Strasburg that year?
Uh-huh.
And then both of them had arm problems.
In the playoffs. They wouldn't pitch in the playoffs,
right? And Jabba Chamberlain was the guy they babied the hell out of, and he needed Tommy John. So, you know, at this day and age, you can do all you want. It's kind of like saving Nene for the playoffs. I mean, you can save him all you want, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And you mentioned how Boston's rotation is struggling, and they are. I mean, they're bottom third of the league easily. I think might be bottom five in the ERA. What's amazing is their bullpen is a top 10 bullpen ERA wise. I realized they struggled, but as bad as we thought that bullpen was going to be, that's been the strength for this team, for a team that struggled all season, obviously. But it's kind of flipped. We thought their starting pitching would be pretty good. Their bullpen was going to be awful.
You lose Kimbrell. You lose Joe, the pitcher that was with the Cardinals first, signed with the Dodgers, Joe Kelly.
Yep.
And he was throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
So, yeah, you lose those two guys out of your pen. It's natural to look at it and go, that bullpen's not going to be anywhere near what it was a year ago.
If I would have told you that to this point in the season, the Boston bullpen would have the same amount of saves as the Yankees bullpen, you would have said no way.
No way.
There's no way in hell that Yankees bullpen, best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah.
And 10 saves. Each of those bullpens has 10 saves right now, which is good for 16th in the tied for 16th or whatever.
And what's Osuna third?
You mean the Astros?
But Osuna by himself is like third in saves.
Yeah, he's third. He's got as many saves as the Boston bullpen.
That's what
does.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Osuna's or the Astros are 12th with 12 saves.
And the other thing last night from Major League Baseball, in case you missed it or cared, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., who after all the hype has been struggling mightily. And you go back to when Bregman first got called up, or when some of these guys first get called up, Springer and those guys, everybody had such high expectations. But the Major League pitchers are really good.
Yep.
But he finally last night broke out, hit his first Major League home run, and then for good measure hit another one. So good for him that maybe this will turn things around a little bit for him, because for all the hype, he has not been playing well for Toronto.
No, after that initial game.
Big hype with
a lot of pressure on a kid like that. Not just because the bloodline and your dad and all that, but then you've got the media. Like, I wouldn't want to be Jordan's son. I wouldn't want to be Vlad Guerrero's son and the expectations of that. And then you actually do prove to be a good minor league player. And let's star.
All, I was going to say, everywhere he's been in the minor leagues, he's been a stud, right? But to your point, Lance was telling me the other day that his kids are playing Little League ball in the same Little League as Chris Paul's kid and some of the other kids. And he's like, I had my head down on Steve Francis's kid. He said, I had my head down, and the PA guy goes, now coming to the plate, Chris Paul. He goes, so I looked up, and then I looked over, and Chris Paul's right there. And I'm like, just like you said, LeBron has spoken about this in the last year, where he said, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I might think about not calling my first son LeBron James Jr. He does refer to him as Bronny because exactly what you're talking about. Because of that, you know, think about it. When I go back and look, and obviously the Blue Jays are the example of maybe there's hope for guys that are kids that are in the bloodlines of former major leaguers or professional athletes, because the Blue Jays have Biggio's kid, Dante Bichette's kid, Guerrero's kid.
Baseball.
But in the past, besides Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr., you were hard-pressed for a lot of years to find a guy that was in the bloodlines that came anywhere close. Yeah, I said Ken Griffey Jr. And Barry Bonds. Yeah. But other than that, few and far between.
Yeah, it really was. And then, I mean, McCullers, but his dad wasn't elevated like some of these guys are.
Right, to be really, really, like you said. And obviously, you're set up to fail if you're Jordan's kid.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, that's what sucks is, didn't he try to play basketball?
Oh, one of them started at Illinois and then transferred to like South Florida.
Because not only do you have that expectation, but do you realize how much trash gets talked to you if you're not best player on the court? Not your daddy. You're nothing like your daddy. You wouldn't even be like, you might be adopted. Like, you suck so bad. Like, dude, the trash talk would just be awful.
If you dunk on MJ's kid or take him to the basket.
Oh, my God.
Especially
go
today.
Get your dad. Maybe he can hold me. Oh, right. Bro, I would hate that so much.
Everybody's up and down.
That's why we named our cat Sebastian. I didn't want him to have to live up to my comedy level of genius at art.
I see that. Yeah. I would never have named any of my dogs with my name. I can tell you that.
Joel.
Yeah.
Joel's not a good dog name.
No, Boomer. Boomer is fine.
Boomer's. Yeah. Like I told my wife, when our cat passes away and we have some time and I get a dog, I want to get a Doberman, and I already have his name.
Okay, which is?
Chewy.
Okay.
I think that's a good name for a Doberman. I want the big spike collar. I want the pointy ears, which I know people don't want to get their ears cropped. It's going to happen. I don't care. I want that mean looking ass Doberman named Chewy.
But here's the problem.
What?
That name could be a precursor
to him chewing on everything?
Chewing everything.
Well, that might be appropriate.
That is a problem that I do not accept in my house.
Do you, do you spank your dogs?
I'll swack them on the butt if they do something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, more so than anything else, they respect the alpha. They know with the who's got the loudest voice or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they know.
Now, one thing I did, I didn't want to spank the cats because it's like, they're little.
Yeah, right.
But I would spray them with water, and they hate that. And
cats hate water.
That works.
I got the three-legged, one-eyed one. If I put the hose on, he chases it like it's a ball.
Really loves it.
He just wants to jump through it and catch it in his mouth, and he's nuts about it. But yeah, if I raise my voice and I say go to bed, it takes me all about 5 seconds, and they all go right into their kennels.
Nice.
And the pit bull will actually open and shut his own cage door.
Dang.
As opposed to the three-legged one who breaks out. This morning, I had to run out of the house real quick.
You have 25% less legs than the rest of the dogs, and you're the one getting loose.
And here's another one that makes it even more interesting. So the initial cage we had that little handle that hooks in, locks, and you push it back down.
Yeah.
With one paw, he would slide it and flip that. So we got
need all four
we
to
got
do
this.
That.
Lisa found this double strength, super lock, whatever. And I latched it today, but I didn't put the final little lock thing in. I get home, he's waiting at the back door for me. I go, this little Houdini can escape out of these
dogs,
cages.
Here's the problem, is you have so many dogs, it's literally like a canine Ocean's 11. You got 11 dogs running around your house, thinking of ways to break out and steal stuff.
And who knew his paw was actually a lock-breaking key?
He's like one of the Lannisters. He's going to have a fake paw, a metal.
Or the nail.
A metal paw.
Clicks out and starts picking locks.
Nice.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hey, we got some basketball talk, too. Blazers and Warriors. And, of course, tonight, the big one between the Bucks and the Raptors in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Lots to talk about. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Just take it slow. ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
So I handed him my bottle.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You got to know when to hold up.
I'm just
gonna
let this play.
Walk away. Hey!
Know when to run. You never count your
He made
money.
The boat.
When you're sitting at the table.
I love this. This is the jam. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. I don't have kids. And I'm not a role model or a parent. But if I had kids, one, I would never let them hear this song. But I would quote this song like I was giving fatherly advice. You could literally raise a kid just on the lyrics of this song. Like, if you just gave them the advice from the gambler, your kid is going to turn out to be a badass.
You know what?
What?
It's a damn good thing you're not having kids.
I'd be like, son, listen.
Listen to Reverend Kenny Rogers. He's going to tell you when to hold them. There's a point in time in your life. You just got to know when to hold them. And when to fold them. When to walk away.
This is beautiful.
You got to know when to hold them.
Hey! Hey!
He made the boat!
Come on!
When the Rockets got sent and gone fishing.
How come there's not been a hip-hop remix of this shit? What? Hey! What?
We're playing that back.
This is amazing, man. Kenny Rogers is some of the best stories, like Lucille.
Yeah.
What was the
islands
other one?
In the
Coward of the
die.
County. Oh my God. Coward
I thought
of the
you were
County.
Going Islands in the Stream.
No,
on me.
That's not a story. Coward of the County, if that doesn't make you cry, you're not a man.
Gone Fishing?
How come there's not been a hip hop remix of this shit? What? Hey! What? Yeah.
You need a little so Uzi good. Vert or something to be combining with Kenny Rogers to make that happen.
Little Kenny Ken. That's so good.
Because that was the thing. That
I
was the
love
thing.
Kenny Rogers, man.
Kenny Rogers ain't bad, but he made the boat on TNT when they did Gone Fishing. They had Beyonce in there. They had all
and they
the Houston
put Kenny on
and
there.
They put Kenny in the corner.
Because he's from Houston?
Yeah. I didn't know he was from Houston.
I didn't know. Is he from Houston?
Well, that's what they assumed.
I don't think that's
They put
the
him
case.
On the list.
I don't
or
think
on the
they
picture.
Did. Damn, he was. Born in Houston, Texas.
There you go.
By the way, completely made of plastic now.
Yes, he
is
really is.
100% yeah. artificial, Kenny Rogers.
Yep.
His whole body is plastic. It's...
He's, found a,
he's like a live. He's like a live. He's like an action figure. He's like a country music action figure now. He's just. He's even got like kung fu grip to hold the mic, and he's just all plastic.
He's a motion mannequin.
He is.
I found a Wyclef remix of that song. If you want to hear it.
No, you did not.
Yeah, but if it swears, I'm gonna drop it. Okay,
you're
I'm
gonna dump it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, now you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like this for you. You got to know when to hold them.
Yeah, yeah.
Know
yeah.
when to fold them.
DJs.
Know
DJs,
when to walk away.
Hip-hop.
Know
hip-hop.
When to run.
Yeah, so
you
good. Got
to count your doublets.
Ghetto,
before you touch
ghetto,
the turntable.
What?
If you run out of big tunes, that means your sound.
Y'all
thing.
Ready?
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold down.
Boy. Yes. What did I tell you? I should be... Away. Bro, I should be an executive producer. Like, now, I literally called that would be a great rap song. Wyclef, already ahead of the game.
We just
and you
would
make fun of me, and look at that. That was amazing.
We just got an email that says that this song, in its current version, is not eligible for Country Music Awards at this time.
Nice.
But there is potential for
Man,
it.
Man, Kenny Rogers does it for me. I'm telling you. Coward of the County, Lukenbach, Texas. I'm not a big Islands in the Stream guy, but the
he
gambler.
Did some duets, right? He did that with Dolly. Didn't he do one with Streisand, I think, too?
Did he? Lady?
Oh Lady was a
jam. His version of Lady, not as good as Lionel Richie's version, but
I
still a really good version of Lady.
Yeah, Lionel Richie's version's top shelf. And I'm not a big, not all Lionel Richie songs, but that's a good one.
Lady?
Yeah.
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 I'm with you.
So, all right, we're rolling along here on The Usual Suspects.
Real quick, couple of texts.
Yes.
Hey, fellas, the Texas accent came in number one as the sexiest accent. Now, they said Texas accent. I'm assuming they just meant Southern.
Southern, right, yeah.
Number two was Boston. Oh. WTF. Have y'all seen the video of the Boston lady talking not sexy? Yeah, I retweeted it actually earlier. First of all, she's a comedian, so I hope you know she was playing it up a little bit. Yes. But I don't see. Oh, God, that's hot. Like, I don't know how that's.
That sounded more Midwest. My
I can't
neck of the
do a Boston. But this is just not sexy. It's really not. I don't know how that would be. I don't know how any of these accents.
Clam chowder. Chowder.
How do you consider a Boston accent sexy or a Southern accent? And we just talked about accents the other day.
We did, yeah.
Midwest. None of those are sexy. Well,
I think Southern on a woman can be.
Really? Mm-hmm. You think a Southern accent on a woman is sexy?
It can be. Yeah.
I think a foreign accent is sexy. Like, you know, you have like
I can see that. French a lot of people get French.
Or even like a Spanish accent or, I don't even British to a certain degree.
Obviously Spanish accent, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But, I don't know. Like, our own inner...
I always think it's just awesome when Lisa starts speaking Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
And she always says she's not that good at it. She is.
I begged Nora for years to call me Poppy. Never happened. Not one time. She's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, please, that's just so hot. She's like, I'm not doing that. That is ridiculous. I'm like, fine. Lisa?
We're going to spoil it. No, we're not doing it. I don't have a desire to be called Poppy.
Why? Oh, that's hot, bro. That is so hot. Have your chick be like, I ain't Poppy. You're like, yeah, what? Even if you're not doing anything.
It's been used in so many songs
I'm
now.
Like, even if I'm just making a grilled cheese and she did it. She's like, oh, I ain't Poppy. That grilled cheese looks good. I'm like, yeah, what?
That's why I have a struggle with calling a grown man Poppy. Like Ortiz from the Red Sox. Yep. I'm not calling you Big Poppy, bro.
You like Cedric the Entertainer?
I'm not
calling no dude Delicious.
Did he have a bit? He did have a bit like that.
My name's Daryl, but you call me Delicious.
Yeah, I'm a grown ass
man. I'm not calling no dude Delicious.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it, man.
That was in the Will Smith Welcome to Miami with the I Poppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Lots of different versions of it. It's been used in too many songs.
Huh?
It's been used in too many songs. I'm not doing the Poppy
thing. It's still hot, man. Latina chick
doesn't. You hear Joel say it? You say it. He thinks it's hot. Say it. Joel, go ahead.
I'm not like no.
He's trying to make us gay right now.
Right,
Joel,
not
he's
gonna
doing.
Do that. Yeah.
by the way, shout out to Demetrius out there doing his yard. Got the front lawn looking good, man.
Yeah, it's a nice shack too.
Looking nice. Yeah,
I want to be like Kirby the other day.
Casa Del
Mata.
Hey, your house is hot. Can I be inside of it? What? That's weird. And then somebody said, "Hey, grass looks good because of Barry's lawn talk."
Oh, boy.
I don't know if that was Demetrius that said that, but his grass is looking nice.
It better be. We don't need the word spreading like your fertilizer.
Hmm?
Get a spreader for that and spend it on your own time.
Somebody said, how would Barry teach his kids about the birds and the bees?
Carefully.
From Dr. Too Short? No, I would get NWA's Don't Bite It and just...
Wow.
Was that too far?
A little bit.
I mean, it's a very sexual... So, is there a good song that where you could teach your kids sex? Because, like, I feel like The Gambler is a perfect how to teach your son
life
how
lesson.
To be a man. Yeah, like, you would, if I had a kid on his graduation day, like, my dad gave me this list of things to do and to not do as a man. Like, this is,
really?
Yeah, like, it was really cool. It was like a long list of things, you know. I mean, standards to open the door for a woman, always walk on the inside, like, you know, do this, don't do that, about everything, not just dealing with women. But I feel like you could just get away with writing the lyrics to The Gambler and giving that to him and be like, here's how you be a man. I think that would work.
I don't think so.
Nope.
I'm going to do that at a toast, like for my nephew when he graduates. I'm going to be like, Braylon, sometimes in life you got to know when to hold them. And sometimes in life you got to know when to fold them. And like half of them, they're going to be like, this dude's quoting Kenny Rogers. Listen, sometimes, Braylon, you got to know when to walk away. It could work. It really could work.
Thank God you're not a parent.
Seriously, that's what I'm saying.
Don't even get another cat. Just stay away from parenting altogether.
I'm telling you. NWA. Just don't bite it. Birds and the bees.
1 hour in the books. 2 hours still to go. Lord knows what's going to happen in the final 2 hours of the show, but hopefully you'll be along with us on the ride through your busy day. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello! to call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.